Good morning, church. Everybody good? Man, let's just start right off the bat. Let's welcome all the guests. We have so many guests today. Come on, you guys. We're glad you're here, man. I just, from this side to that side, we have new people, and God bless you for being here. Man, we're so glad you come to be a part of our worship today. And I want to welcome our online church. Let's look into the camera. Say hello to everybody out there in video land. And we have several out there today because we have lots of folks that are out sick, that are traveling, that are watching from all over the place. And so what a blessing it is to have you here, to have that technology. And we're glad you're here. I want to say a couple of things before I get in the message. And first of all, I want to say, hey, next week, can you believe it? Next week is our Christmas service. It is, yeah, I go, oh, dang. All y'all done with your shopping? No, not way at all. Listen. Next week, it's going to be in a regular time, a regular service time, and it's just going to be a very special time, a presentation of some things that you're going to be familiar with. We don't change the Christmas story every year. We just change how we present it, and so it's going to be a lot of fun, and so I'm so glad that we're going to get to do that. So be here next week at 10 o'clock. Invite a friend. Let's fill this place up and have to bring more chairs in and put them around the walls, and we'll put them on the stage if we have to. We just want to have people here to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, right? And so be praying about all the sickness that's going on. We talked about it in huddle this morning with folks that have got flu and COVID and RSV and strep and all that stuff that's going around. We just, in Jesus' name, are ready. I'm ready for summer, y'all. Y'all ready for summertime? Oh, man, it just got cold, man. Don't give me no summer right now. Man, first day of cold, I'm whining. I'm ready for hot weather already, so I love it. But and then I want to say one word extra about what Brandon said on the news. Appreciate Melissa and the Soul on Fire team, and they're going to be here tonight at 6 o'clock. Everybody come back and be a part of that and watch. There's going to be coffee for Zach, and if he'll share, then y'all can have some coffee as well. But it's just going to be a lot of fun. It's about an hour-long presentation, and so I'm excited about our students and Melissa and that group that's been working on that all semester long in their small group. We love our small groups. Amen, church? We're in a break right now. We're about to enter a season of prayer and fasting beginning the first Sunday in January, the 7th. And so just plan on it. It's going to be 21 days. Go ahead and be planning and praying toward what God is going to lead you to do. We'll be here every morning, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. from 6 to 7. Church of the Highlands simulcast there. They stream it. Simulcast, that's old stuff. Stream now. They stream it. We'll stream it on our screens here. And I will make a promise to you. If you will commit to coming, I'm not an early morning person either, to be honest with you. But if you'll commit that extra hour, and can, some of you can't, and I understand that you're getting kids ready for whatever, school, and you're getting ready to work, and you got work to go to and all of that. But even some of you guys who work, it's early enough in the morning, you can get here and get out of here in time. They are very meticulous about time. So at 7 o'clock on the dot, it's done, and you're able to get to work and do whatever. And I'll make this is the promise I want to make. If you'll come, it will change your life. It will motivate you. It will bless you. You will see things happen in your life. And I'm not talking one of these, you know, you pray it, name it, claim it kind of junk. That's not the gospel. But it will change you. It really will. And so we usually have very few who come. Let's have more this year to come and be a part of that amazing time together from 6 until 7 in the morning. So anyway, that's a little early for that announcement, but I want to go ahead and get it in your head. I'm already thinking toward it. And so we talk a lot in the church about why Jesus came. He came to be a ransom for many. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to serve people. We talked about that last week in our series. We're doing Love Like Jesus. We talked about him washing feet last week, and he came to be a servant. He really was the servant of all, as he said his disciples needed to be. And then my second favorite verse of the Bible is John 10:10, where he said that he came to give life and to give it to the full, abundant, overflowing kind of life. And I'm going to tell you something. We talked about this at huddle this morning, too. Right now, there's this air of us around us in this whatever, the atmosphere or whatever, where everybody's tired and everybody's just, that's like, oh, man, I got to go do this. And Liz and I were out doing some Christmas shopping the other night. We were at Target in Huntsville, and this lady came up to us just out of nowhere. I mean, her name is Angel, I think was her name. Angela. Angela, yes, Angela, close. Angela, close. And y'all, she just was like, she just was a sweet, sweet, kind person. And she was just like, man, my life is going to get, I'm blessed. And she saw we had gifts and stuff in the basket. And, oh, you guys are Christmas shopping or whatever. And she said, and she had to show us a TikTok video that she had done for her grandkids. This lady, I don't know how old she was. But anyway, she's a little older than me, I think, which makes her ancient. But anyway, she just exuded Christ. And when she left, Liz looked at me and said, how did that happen? What just happened? It was like she just walked up and just gave us all this energy and just walked away. I mean, it's just incredible. Y'all, that's the kind of person I want to be. And I'm going to tell you, the more I seek after God and the deeper I get in my relationship with Him and do that, the more I am like that. The less overthinking I'm doing, the less problems I see more life than death. I want to tell you, it's all about following after, seeking after what God would fill you up with, His Spirit. I'm going to tell you, that has been such a key in my life. As I said, we have a lot of new folks here. We welcome you. We want you to understand that we just want to bring life into your life. You bring life into our life. We're not here to help you. You're here to serve. You're here to bless somebody else. We're here to all just take what God has given us and just give it away to somebody else. And that's really kind of connecting with my message today about bread. The idea of Jesus breaking bread. It's the how He came. Jesus came preaching. He came teaching. He came healing. He did a lot of things. But I love this passage where He's talking to the Pharisees. And their Pharisees, by the way, were these religious guys that kind of picked at Jesus all the time and tried to trap Him all the time. And they were the religious elite of His day. They knew the Bible inside and out, and they could quote it to you, but they didn't know the heart of it. Most of them. And Jesus comes along and challenges them. And they hated John the Baptist. They hated Jesus. They hated His disciples. These guys were renegades to them. And they were accusing them of stuff. They accused John the Baptist of like being just, in fact, it's funny because when you watch The Chosen, they call him Creepy John, right? And so he's like, this is this weird renegade guy wearing goat's hair and eating grasshoppers and just strange, fiery preacher that people love to go hear him preach. And then Jesus comes along, and all Jesus did was hang out with the people that nobody else wanted to be with, both rich, poor, and all that. We kind of pointed that out in this series, and the Bible says that Jesus is talking to these guys who are accusing Him of being a drunk. He told them, you're a drunk and a friend of sinners. And Jesus was like, what are you talking about? He said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Yo, Jesus' first miracle, I love what Mark Lowry said, Jesus' first miracle was just to keep the party going. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's what Mark Lowry said. I mean, He took water and made it into wine, not just wine, not like I was taught. I was taught that it was 5 or 6 vats of grape juice. No, it was wine, aged the good stuff, they said. And so Jesus is that kind of guy where He's hanging out with all these people, and He's not promoting the bad part of it. He's just saying, I'm here to be who you want me to be. He said, I'm the bread of life. And I guess knowing that Jesus came eating and drinking makes me feel like I got a whole lot more in common with Him, right? I like to eat and drink too, and we all do, you know? We love to get together and bring food. This time of year, man, people are like, it's all about food and stuff. And it's just this one gathering after another. And Jesus would have loved it. He would have loved it. Y'all pray for my voice. It is going away. And so loving like Jesus, we learned that Jesus forgave sinners. We learned that He washed feet. And we're going to learn today that He was a breaker of bread. Jesus breaks bread. In the book of Luke, it's so common through Jesus is either going to a meal, coming from a meal, or He's at a meal. And He's always fellowshipping with people. And so just to give you some examples of that, in chapter 5, He goes to Levi's house. By the way, Levi was hated by everybody around Jesus. In chapter 7, He goes to dinner at Simon's house. Simon was one of those Pharisee guys. He winds up in his house, and this woman walks in of ill repute. I don't know how she just walks in, but she does. And she begins to touch Jesus and she's crying on His feet and anointing Him and wiping His feet with her hair and all these things. And Simon's like, he just knew what kind of woman that was. By Jesus, I said, well, what's she doing in your house? That's what I wanted to say, but Jesus didn't say that. Anyway, Jesus is eating there with them. That's another lesson in front of the time. In chapter 9, he don't just feed a couple of people. He feeds 5,000 men. So he's feeding about 10,000 people with a little boy's lunch. That's my Lord. What are we going to do? They're hungry. Well, let's go get them something to eat. And one of the disciples said, man, we couldn't. If we gave them one bite apiece, it would take a salary, a whole year's salary for us to do that for all of us. It's not going to happen. And Jesus said, oh, yes, it is. Take this little boy's lunch and go feed him. And they do. And they had leftovers. They had leftovers. In chapter 10, it's the hospitality at the home of Mary and Martha. It's insinuated there is a meal there. It doesn't say it, but it's insinuated. In chapter 11, he has a dinner at another Pharisee's house, and he answers questions from the lawyers and all of that kind of stuff going on. I don't know why I looked at you when I said that. I just did, man, because you are one. In chapter 14, you have the Sabbath meal at another Pharisee's house, and you have lawyers and guests and all these people that are there. In chapter 19 is the story of the wee little man. The wee little man was he. What was his name? Zacchaeus. Yeah, that little Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. We used to sing that song. Y'all remember that song? Climbed up in the sycamore tree, Savior for to see. As the Savior passed along, looked up in his Zacchaeus. Come down from there, for I'm going to dine with you. I'm going to your house today, depending on if you're King James or not. So we sing this song about this little guy, and he was hated because he cheated people. He took their money, and Jesus goes to his house and has a dinner, forgives him in his house, and he takes care of all. I'll pay back four times what I owe all these people. Jesus changed lives around the dinner table. Chapter 22, you have the Last Supper of the disciples. In chapter 24, he's breaking bread on the road or with the guys on Emmaus Road. And in chapter 24, he's eating with the disciples after his resurrection. Jesus loved to have meals and break bread with the people around him and to teach from that bread breaking. I could talk all day long about all the times he taught using bread as an example. We're going to talk about some of it today, but not all of it. Jesus, these stories are not just stories. These events in our Lord's life tells us that he came to be intimate with people. Jesus wasn't some kind of God. We talk about Jesus sometimes in our world like he's way off out there somewhere. No, Jesus is right here. Holy Spirit comes into our life to give us Jesus. He's as close as you want to accept him. He's right here in your heart. If you want that to be, he wants that kind of intimacy with all of us, fellowship, experiencing his presence. The point of breaking bread is people in community together. When I was a kid, Sundays were off days. Sundays, nobody did anything. Like right now, we have people possibly watching online at work, right now. Or at work and can't watch online. That didn't happen when I was a boy. You had to get gas on Saturday night because the gas stations were closed on Sunday. If you needed gas, if you needed to travel. It's a world that I think I was my generation was the tail end of that, really. Because in things like, and I know it was before my time, air conditioning was invented, but it was a time when we didn't have air conditioning and people had to go to places to get in under shelters to be able to get together. And there was no television. There was radio. They'd gather around the radio as community. There was no air conditioning drove people in the house. I'm going to give you some inventions that's come along the way. The garage door opener or closer if you're a negative person. Y'all gonna have to laugh better. I'm losing my voice. I'm worried about that. Y'all got to at least laugh when I tell something halfway funny, all right? So, no, but think about it. I go to my house, and my car has actually got a button on it. I don't even have a closer anymore. I just push the little button on my car, and my door opens up, and I drive my car in there, and I push it again, and the door closes down, and I don't see anybody. I mean, I could literally go months without seeing anybody in my neighborhood other than when I'm driving into my garage if I wanted to. Except for Abe across the road. He's always working on something. You're going to see him almost every time he comes in the house. But those inventions created a moment where we can just separate ourselves from everything. Fences and gates. I remember before we had caller ID, y'all. And the phone would ring and you'd go, wonder who that is. And you go over anticipating. It was almost like we would run. Me and my brother would run to the phone just to see who it was, just to answer. Hello? Oh, it's for Mom. Mom! And then caller ID came out. And the phone rang, and we'd run over to the phone and look at it. And we'd go, I don't want to talk to them. And walk away. And we begin to be able to know. Now you guys can never imagine a phone call coming to you on your cell phone and not knowing who it was except for robocalls. And now my phone will say, it's a robocall. You don't have to answer it. Thank you, sis. You don't have to answer it. So we have separated ourselves and our culture. And y'all, we have social media, and we've never been more lonely. And the screen has taken the place of personal connection. And I could preach all day on that. And Jesus is trying to get us. You could have opened this, you know. I'm just saying. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I could resist. We got to stop. Here's what it was like when Jesus, after he was resurrected and he left the church with his disciples. Here's what happened. Jesus died, he's resurrected, he's gone back to be with God, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says, when he left the disciples here, long story, I got in a nutshell, Peter preaches this great lesson, and about 3,000 people came to Jesus on that day. And here's what they started doing. They devoted themselves. That's a good word right there. They just devoted themselves. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. There's the breaking of bread phrase. They devoted themselves to community. And the Bible says everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So there was great mighty acts of things happening in the church at that time. Not only were they just getting together and eating and having Lord's Supper and just doing a worship service and going to the house, it was this continual thing. Everyone was filled with awe. So many wonders and signs were being done. All the believers were together. Everybody say together. Had everything in common. Everybody say common. Had everything in common. And they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day, everybody say every day. Now, somebody said, I remember we used to have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night church. Y'all remember that, right? Some of you guys remember that. And then we had a gospel meeting in the area, or a revival, according to you Baptists. If you had a revival in the area, then it was Monday through Friday. And then revivals became, sometimes they were like 2 weeks, but we didn't go all 2 weeks. We go a week, and then it changed from Monday to Thursday. And then it was Monday to Wednesday. And then we just quit having them. We just stopped having gatherings because people were too busy. There was too much going on outside of the church. And I just remember we just concise. People used to complain, why do we got to come to church on Wednesday night anyway? Whoever started Wednesday night church? So religion did when we stopped meeting every day. That's what happened. They were meeting every day, every day. And every day they continued to, and you think, we always look at that passage, they must not have had a job. What did they do? How did they get together every day? I don't know how it happened, but they did. They weren't lazy. They did stuff that worked. But they found the time. They met together. It says that every day they continue meeting together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Did you hear that? Not only were they meeting together, they were enjoying favor with the community, everybody around them. What's going on over there in Jerusalem? What happened? 3,000 people, they went crazy, dunked a bunch of them in water, and they all have Jesus, and what's this whole miracle thing, and all these tongues speaking, and all this stuff going on, and word was spreading all over the place. And they were doing it every day. And the Bible says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, we're going to break all that down a little bit more later on. But understand that in our culture and day and time, we look at that and we think there's no way we could ever do that. Y'all, listen, I'm not going to preach too hard on you today because I know we got stuff going on in our lives and things we're doing. But y'all, we're just too stinking busy. Let's just say that. No amens on that, huh? One reason we're all so dog tired is because we got so much going on. What happened to Sunday Sabbath? What happened to being off on Saturday? Saturday when I was a kid was a play day, man. We didn't do anything but play and have fun and go to my grandmother's house and do stuff. And we've lost so much of that that Craig Groeschel came up with an alternative reading of what I just read to you. If it was read today, this might be what it sounded like. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to warn you before this happens. All you new people, listen. And all you old people, listen. This is going to be a little preachy, all right? I'm just going to say it right before I ever say it. Because when I read this, I thought, I got to read that to Keith. And I'm just going to let you in on reading this to me. He said, the Christians, this is Acts 2, 42 to 47, Craig Groeschel, I can't talk. He said it, all right? So I'll give him credit. I should have put it on the screen, but I didn't. He says, the Christians were devoted to themselves and occasionally got together for church when they had time. No one was filled with awe because there were no signs and wonders being performed among the believers. And very few of the believers were together, and they had almost nothing in common because they had no real time for each other. If they sold something, they used the money to buy something better for themselves. They ate on the run, kept to themselves, and were too rushed to enjoy one another and give praise to God. They claimed to love God, but they didn't really love each other, and they felt very empty and alone. And as a result, most people disliked them, and very few were ever saved. I do not want that to be this church. Never, ever, ever. We want people to know that we have something different, and it's something that's giving us life. It's not taking away our time. It's something we get to do. We don't got to do it. We get to do it. We're trying to change our got-tos into get-tos, our have-tos into want-tos, our duty into delight. This is fun, man. You wouldn't know any different me playing drums today than me playing drums last night when we did our Christmas show over in Florence. I don't want there to be. I'm not going to praise a Christmas tree like you talking about Christmas trees. I'm not going to say, whatever, let it snow, let it snow. We did a bunch of fun secular music and some Christian stuff as well. But I'm going to tell you something, man. I love doing this. It ought to show when we love to worship. It ought to come out of us in a way where people go, I want some of that. I want to be just like that. And I'm looking across this room, and I see people that I saw you the other day. I don't want to call you names because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But, man, I'm just like, I'm so thankful you're here. I'm talking about you. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm talking about you back here. And I'm talking about you two up here. And I'm not going to call you names. I don't want to embarrass you. But I'll just point at you so everybody can look at you, all right? I ain't seen you in years, sis. I'm so glad you said. She said, I'm glad to be home. I know you're talking about maybe Athens. But, man, we're glad you're here in this home. And some of you right now are so lost, you have no idea what to do with your life. And I agonize for you. I do. And we ought to be agonizing for each other. There's one right there, yeah. I miss you. I pointed it out, though. I got you, didn't I? I said, I've been praying for you for 6 years, every day. Every day, through thick and thin, you two back here. I'm going on and on about this because, listen, this is turning into a message now about just this first lesson is bread is life. This person in your notes, get your notes out. Bread is life. And some of us have been dying inside for so long that we need a little bread up inside of us. We need it so bad. We're just focused. We got our emphasis on the wrong syllables in our life. That'll be funny tomorrow when you think about it. There's a story told of these little children that were taken out of the war. David, I'm going to say your name, brother. I'm glad you're here. And they were taken out. It was these kids that their parents were killed and in the Jewish families. And they were in the concentration camps. And all these little children came out of that. They were orphaned. They didn't know what to do. So they put them in these orphanages. And they were so afraid. Every night they couldn't sleep. They would stay awake all night long. And what they determined was that if they would give these little children a loaf of bread, they would sleep. You know why? Because for so long, they starved. And they rested knowing that if they didn't have anything else the next day, they had that loaf of bread. Some of you, some of us have been living that way so long. You're starved spiritually. You're just dead inside and you don't know why. And you're trying to figure it out. And you're trying to walk these paths that the world is saying do and all these things. And you know it's not working. There's no life in it because Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Never. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And that message is seated in the midst of the time that he fed the 5,000, that he fed all those people. It was 10,000. He fed all those people. And they chased after him for bread, food bread, like, oh, that was good. We want some more of that. And he was saying, you're coming after me because you want the physical food. And it's not about that at all. It's the giving of life that matters. Rebecca brought me this water, and I was picking on her a little bit. But doing something like that is kind to me. But there are people all over the place, y'all, who need living water. They need the bread of life. And we can feed them all day through blessing boxes and serve days and all those things. But if we don't give them Jesus, we've just filled up their belly and their empty spirit inside, and they're dying. And we've done nothing but made them full physically and missed the point. I mean, I don't know, man, if y'all are sensing this or not, but there are people maybe online listening today that are dying inside. I'm just telling you, Jesus is the place to find the life that you're looking for. And I'm asking you to give it a shot. Give it a shot. Bread is also church community. It's also church community. People who say today... People in surveys who are asked the question, do you attend church regularly? And they say, yes. What they mean by that is they say, what do you mean regularly? What does regularly mean to you? It's once a month. Once a month. That's in our culture right now. So you ask somebody, do you regularly go to worship? People say, yeah, I go. And the average person will say, once a month, I'm there. Now, this sermon is not about church attendance, but it is about spending more time with Jesus. Church attendance is a part of that. Most of us spent, or you, I don't do it anymore. I used to. Most of you spent more time than an hour. You spend more than an hour a day on social media, average, statistically speaking. But 1 hour a month, man, it's just not going to get. The Bible proclaims, and let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The closer it comes to Jesus coming back, the more important it is for us to be together, to be one, to be unified. And the first thing when you become a partner with our church that we ask you to do is to agree that the unity of the church matters. That's important. That it's important. And it's togetherness. He says it's to spur one another on. I need a good kick in the side to do what I need to do every now and then. I need somebody saying, hey, man, come on, we need you to help. You're going to be okay. Everything's all right. Let's move forward. You're doing great. Any of those, it's encouragement's what it's called. Encouragement means to give courage to someone. And he's just saying you can't do that if you're not together. We come together, and the presence of God is powerful when we come together. And we know it because we're inviting him here. Before you ever get here, God is, you say, well, God's everywhere at the same time. What are you doing inviting him? He can be wherever he wants to be, right? Listen, Holy Spirit is not going to knock you down somewhere and make you follow him. He's not. You have to open hands, open heart, let him come and you receive. Listen, the Bible says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and having favor with the people. They did that in small groups. That's why we have small groups here, by the way. We want you to be together in small groups where you can grow and have life and be able to help each other get through this. So we have this dependency on Jesus, but we have an interdependency on one another. And God built us that way. God made us that way. That's why you desire to be loved and wanted by someone else. And then the last point today is this, that bread is the offer of life to the world. Did you notice at the end of that text in Acts 2, it said, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Oh, my. Back up a slide so they can get those blanks filled in, if you don't mind, brother. I went too fast on that one. Sorry. Had somebody tell me one time, said, man, give us a little time, especially when you got three blanks. Let us fill those things in. The Lord's adding to the church every day. And he does that by using us to fellowship together. People need the Lord. And you and I need to be sharing him with other people. I had an interesting thing happen last night, and we did our show. Like I told you, we had a show in Florence, did our Christmas show at Cross Point Church, and it was a lot of fun. And I was on my way back, and I hadn't had supper, and I know I shouldn't eat at 11 o'clock at night or whatever. And so I stopped at the place where the most nutritious food I could find at 11 o'clock at night was Sonic Drive-In. And that was funnier to me than it was y'all. But so I stop at Sonic, and I go through the drive-thru, and I order my food. And Micah, you guys can come on up, man. I order my food, and it's late. It's raining. It's a dreary night. And I'm, you know, standing in line. I watch this young girl. She comes out, and she's giving people food, and she's smiling. She's being nice and all those things. Anyway, I get up to the thing, and I say, why don't you tip this girl pretty well? And so I didn't just give her tons of money, but I tipped her more, I'm sure, than she'd been tipped all night. And when I gave her the money and I said, hey, you be blessed and just keep the change. And she said, people like you make a difference. Now, I'm not telling you that story to pat myself on the back. I tell you that story because there's opportunities everywhere to share Christ. And I said, well, you know, God's been good to me, and I just want to be generous to you. And so you accept that from him. And she said, amen. And I said, oh, you're a believer. She said, I am a believer. She said, I love the Lord. And she said, you don't know how much that's going to bless me. And I said, oh, yeah, I do. And we just had a short little conversation, but it was a moment in time. You know, we have to keep our eyes wide open, because as we commune and as we get with other people in community, God's going to give us opportunities to share his love. Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's probably the greatest lie the devil has told the world, that Jesus is just pointing a finger at you all the time going, you just a dirty low-down sinner. You just need to get out of here. You just go to hell. That's what Jesus is saying to everybody. Just go to hell. That's what the world thinks of our Lord. He spread his hands. He was crucified, died for them, and said, forgive them while he's hanging there. He's not here to condemn. He said, I'm not here to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We don't have a condemnation, God. In spite of what you've been told or maybe believed or someone's shared with you, he's not a condemning, angry, frustrated God ready to squash you when you do wrong. He is a just God. He's a wrathful God. That means he gets angry. And his anger will be satisfied. In fact, it already was satisfied when Jesus took all of the stuff that you and I should have taken. He took it on the cross. He was the substitute for you. And we sang that song earlier, Lead Me to the Cross. That's what that's all about. And I'm probably talking to predominantly, mostly people in this room are believers. But listen, I think sometimes we start this thing off like this, like a rock, you know, boom. And then we just plateau off, and then we just kind of forget how important it is what we're here to do. And you and I walk around as vessels for God. Inside this vessel, I have the answer to all of your problems. I really do. I have the answer to all of Keith's problems. My problem is sometimes I kind of harden my heart and push against it, yes, but if you're doing that, just stop. Stop. Just step. We talk about steps around here all the time. Just one step. Just In fact, when we come in today, you were given a little baggie. If you weren't, you need to raise your hand and let me know. As you came through, you should have been given a little Ziploc bag. And in that, we need one down here, guys. Gals. Yeah, just raise your hand. I want everybody in the room, kids included. Come on. Everybody in the room to have one of these little bags. Inside the little bag, there's a couple of emblems. They're just really symbols. Not these kind of symbols, but they symbolize something. And I think that if Jesus came eating and drinking, it's very fitting that when he left, he said, in order to remember me, I want you to eat and drink. You ever thought about that? I thought about it, I guess, but really connected to it like this. It's like, man, I was driving yesterday and I had this revelation, and I texted Russ and I said, hey, man, you need to see this. And so we talked for a little bit. I just love to receive revelation. It's really cool that God said, here's how you can remember me. I want you to eat something and I want you to drink something. Hold up the bread. This bread represents something. I hope today it means a lot more to you than it did before. And you have a God who comes to this earth and he lives in human flesh, fully 100% human. Can you imagine God needing to eat something because he's hungry? Yeah, I can. His name was Jesus. And he shared these meals. This particular kind of bread he shared during a meal called Passover. If you'll come in Easter, toward Easter, and come to our Seder, you can learn exactly a lot more about what this means. But it was Passover time, and Jesus is in the room with his disciples, and he's the bread. He is the bread holding the bread. In fact, the Bible says he tore it. In 1 Corinthians, it's recorded this way. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So when we partake of this, Catholics actually teach that once you bless this and take it into your body, it transubstantiates. It actually turns into the flesh of Jesus. I don't believe that, but I do believe that we have taught against that so much that we forget that this symbolizes his body. And as you partake of this and I partake of this together, we're going to discern. We're going to think about what he did. Don't think about just the cross, although that was the main thing, but think about his life. How many times he served and blessed. And then think about how he died on the cross for you. And he didn't stay there, y'all. He came up out of the grave and he was resurrected. So, Father, today we ask you, the God of the universe, the giver of the bread of life, to bless this bread as we partake in Jesus' name. I forgot to say something I wanted to. If you guys are online and you're at home, and just take the whatever emblem you can find. I know that bucks against my tradition, but I'd rather you take a saltine cracker or a piece of loaf bread and remember Jesus than I had to worry about what kind of bread it was. Too many times we make communion about the bread and the juice, instead of the him, the Lord who is the bread. So we invite you to do this as well. The cup. You can take the cup. You might as well go ahead and start trying to pull that cellophane back because it takes a minute. Oh, this one works. Don't worry about the little styrofoam wafer. this juice. It's just grape juice. Fruit of the vine, we call it. But it represents something. In the Old Testament, when they remembered the Passover, they remember those little lambs that they would slice their throat. Remember, we talked about sacrifice, how that slaughter, the blood would spill. And they put the blood on the doorposts of their home, and the death angel came, and nothing happened because the blood of the lamb was there. It was a pre-picture of the blood of the lamb, who, when you and I were dead in our sins, and the death angel came, and he's coming. Death angel's coming. And what you want is to make sure that you have the blood of the Lamb over you. And this is a representation of that. The blood that was spilled at Calvary. The blood that poured out of Jesus as a ransom, a payment, a sacrifice, a substitute for you and me. And as we partake of this, here's what Jesus said. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this had to be a moment for those disciples that knew that he was Messiah. They'd waited and waited and waited. He said, this is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Father, you're God of the universe, the giver of the fruit of the vine, the one who blessed us with the blood of the Lamb, who sacrificed your Son, Lord, so that we could be saved. We give you the glory and the honor as we partake. And we lift our glass for Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you partake, please? One more verse and we're done. Prayer team, will you come forward, please? If you guys who are new, and anybody in the room, but we want to make sure that you know what's going on. These folks who have name tags, who are coming forward, they'll be all around the room. There'll be some up here, be some around. We want to make it as easy as possible for you. So we're going to lower the lights in a minute, and we're going to have a time of worship, and you're going to have an opportunity to do something. Don't come with anything except your heart to give to Jesus. And if you need prayer about anything right now, it doesn't have to be any specific. Just come and pray. Whatever it is, just accept yourself. Release. Let it go. So I don't know these people. Sometimes it's a perfect time just to come pray with somebody. You have no idea who they are. They will pray over you and they will love you. Scripture says, this is the last verse. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Even in communion, God has asked us to reach out to other people. We just proclaimed together to everybody in this room, everybody online, and every time we do that, if you want to do this in your home, I encourage you, do it with your kids. Let them see you honor God in the middle of a meal. Have guests over and say, we're going to eat communion together. We're going to have a meal, but during the meal, we're going to have communion and we're going to see about this. And just share the message I just shared, that Jesus died for them and he loved them. Proclaim it. Proclaim it. Y'all, he's not dead. He's alive. And he wants you to be in his life, to be in him. He wants to be in your life. And we just proclaimed it, and we're just gonna worship for a moment and have some time in worship and just let you come. Slow the lights, guys, and we can just let people come and be a part of the kingdom. Come and pray. Please, everybody stand. Would everybody in the room please stand together with us? You can step out anytime. You don't have to wait on any particular moment, but don't miss this opportunity. May never be here again. God, I ask you right now to to come into the hearts of all of us. Lord, please help us know your presence. Help us sense your presence. Help us to know deeply who you are in our life, God. I pray right now against any thought that the enemy might be putting in people's heads, like, I don't need this, or I don't want that, or whatever it is, God, I just pray against that right now in Jesus' name, that by the power of your Spirit, you will come into our hearts and into our lives. Erase any distraction right now, God. Ask everybody in the room, please close your eyes and pray with me so people feel confident to come. Lord God, we're just going to pray that you'll bless the hearts of people who might come and ask for prayer right now. Father, as they're coming and they're asking, God, I pray that release and freedom and peace and comfort and all the things, God, that they can have and need in you and only in you. God, help them to have that peace that surpasses all understanding, that they won't even know, like, why am I feeling this good right now? Why am I feeling this release in this moment? Father, I pray right now that you will help them to release that. Father, take out pride. Take out any kind of rejection problems, any kind of shame that might be in somebody's life, God. I pray that you will remove guilt, that you will remove anger, that you will remove frustration, that you will remove fear. God, we know perfect love casts out fear. And Father, I pray that right now that you will release fear in people's lives that are so afraid and so jailed up by the enemy, that you will free them to come and to pray and to come and to receive and to know you as Lord and Savior. Right now, with everybody with their eyes closed, I want to ask you right now, if you say, well, I don't have the courage to come out and go down to somebody, but I want you to pray over me. If you'll just lift your hand in the air, I'll pray over you right now. I just, wherever you are, wherever you're standing, I don't have to know what's going on in your life. Someone, anybody, come on, have a prayer. Father, I pray, God, you will bless and that you will heal. And you will give comfort. And you will give courage and peace. I pray in Jesus' name. Place to go. I want you guys to know as we close our service today that we love you. We are here. I'm not going to stop right now. People are praying. I didn't see that. In this moment, if you feel like you need to go get kids or whatever out of the children's ministry and rescue the teachers, you feel free to do that. But we're gonna, as long as people want to pray, we will pray. Lead me to the cross, Lord. Can find peace. You guys, it's an honor to be able to come and worship with y'all. Listen, our prayer team will be hanging around down here. There's still some praying. They're still going to be hanging out waiting for you. If you need to come and pray, even after we're dismissed, we want you to know we stand ready to bless and to serve you. Once again, we love you. If you're a guest with us and never have, please take that connection card out of the chair in front of you and fill that out for us. Just drop it in those black boxes back there in the back. And we just appreciate you coming. We're not going to bother you. We just want to connect with you. And that's all in community. So, we love you. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. We're going to dismiss now. And if you would, just kind of exit out as long as people are praying. Let's respect that. And we'll try to be respectful of your time as well. I love you. I hope you have a great Sunday.